Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. Good to have you with us today. Also great to have Dr. Annette Richard with us. She is one of the most vibrant, caring, and humanistic doctors one could ever meet. In fact, she doesn't even want to be called Dr. Richard or Dr. Annette, just simply Annette. This healer and health coach and breast cancer expert has many facets to her knowledge and training. She first realized she had a future as a healer at the age of 17, and young Annette vowed to become a doctor and to be able to manage all later medical crises with skill and assurance. Annette has handled further crises since, too, with patients whose diagnoses range from general ailments to obesity and diabetes to breast cancer. The latter has become a specialty for her, and she helps patients understand what's going on and to better cope with it. Annette also authored a book about the cancer battle, There Is Something I Need to Get Off My Chest. Annette is a forward-thinking person, and she's compassionate, and she's invested in courses and technology that enhance her ability to deliver quality care. One such certification equipment is POCUS, a point-of-care ultrasound product that enables her to do scans with a laptop and show patients just what is happening on an extra-large smart board. This technology has the precise capabilities as that used in hospitals. Another upcoming certification is health coach, and Annette has been studying the methods of Mary Morrissey, who has spiritual roots and runs a coaching business known as Life Mastery. She's also launching a new palliative care podcast in collaboration with another provider named Claire. Annette is recognized for her total compassion. Let's welcome her live and direct from London, Ontario, Canada. Annette, thank you very much for joining us here on the program. It's a pleasure to welcome you for part one of your two-part series with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me and offering this wonderful opportunity, Jim.
Oh, you are very, very welcome, and it's our pleasure. Love digging in deep and finding out what makes the people that we feature and celebrate tick. And you've been doing this for a long time, 3 decades, which I think is extraordinary as a doctor. Tell us what first inspired you. You know, we all have our life's journey, what points us in the direction of the work we're doing. What initially in your life's journey inspired you to get into medicine and this specific work that you've studied?
I did have an experience, a seminal experience, Jim, when I was 17, backpacking in the south of France, and I came upon a very large car crash, a multi-vehicle car crash, and I went to a vehicle where the driver, a man, was outside. The vehicle had been thrown out, and he was lying in a pool of gas and blood. I didn't speak much French at that time, but he asked me about his wife, who was in the passenger side, and she had sadly almost been decapitated, and I was clueless in what to do. I really had no experience. I just put my coat over him, actually, and I stayed with him, excuse me, until ambulance arrived. And I vowed at that time that I would never feel so useless again. So that really informed my plan to go forward. Of course, it was a plan that took many years to come about. So that's, I think, where it came from.
It's a very deep story, and I appreciate your sharing that. And I know it still gets you choked up even talking about it today. I'm sure the memories are fresh. You also have, sort of the research we've done, you have a favorite book and movie that sort of sum up your feelings about compassion. Can you share that story and maybe the title and how the boy told the mole what he wanted to be when he grew up? What a teaser that is for our audience.
This is a book that I was given, and it's by a British man named Charles Makesy, M-A-K-E-S-Y. It's called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. It was also made into a stunning animation. It's on, I believe it's available on Apple TV, which I highly recommend. I mean, the book is stunning. He's a sculptor, an artist, a writer, and I just can't say enough good things about the animation. And a little boy is lost, and he meets several characters who speak. One is a mole. One is a fox, actually voiced by Idris Elba, the actor. Gabriel Byrne is a horse. And at one point, the little boy is sitting on the branch of a tree with the mole, and the mole says to the little boy, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And the boy says, "Kind." And I just love that philosophy. The book that I most highly, well, that influenced me, and I was lucky enough to meet the great man himself, was a book called The Platform Ticket by Dr. Derek Doyle, a Scottish physician, sadly is no longer with us. He was a volunteer as a surgeon in Africa for a number of years, then a family physician, then a hospice physician for the latter part of his life. He was one of the founders of the International Association of Hospice and Palliative Care Medicine, renowned all over the world. He received lifetime awards from Penn State, from McGill University in Canada, the UK, obviously, Southeast Asia, just renowned. And the book, which is really hard to find, is called The Platform Ticket. And he likens palliative care to a platform ticket because in England, where I lived for a period of time, rather than boarding the train, this ticket allows well-wishers to journey with their loved ones as far as the platform, one step further than most before the departure. And it's a poignant series of stories on his musings about his life as a hospice physician. He was renowned as a compassionate, humble, brilliant educator of medicine. So I would say that animation, Dr. Derek Doyle's Platform Ticket, one of my favorite movies of all time about compassion and not having an ego as a physician. There are many of them, but one is called Wit, a stellar performance by Emma Thompson about a woman who was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. So those are the things that really inform my approach.
That's beautiful. Really is. What great things to have as your foundation. That's extraordinary, Annette, really, truly. And, you know, it's so hard. I know you like to be called Annette, but it's so hard not to say doctor only because you've definitely earned that respect and that honor. But I know you like to be called Annette. You know, you're in Canada, our beautiful neighbors to the north and our friends to the north. Mm-hmm. Are there things about the healthcare system that, well, we may need a week worth of shows for this answer, Annette. Mm-hmm. Are there things about the healthcare system that differ from here in America? Maybe coverage is definitely one of them.
Well, in Canada, well, I really could not speak at all to our American brethren. We've been, I think, likened to the hat of the United States. We are accustomed to not paying directly for health care. Of course, we pay for it through our taxes. I do believe that there are pros and cons to both systems all over the world. We, sadly, through COVID, are more accustomed to now waiting with long delays in being seen by doctors, imaging, that sort of thing. That probably befell the Americans also, but that was one of the reasons that I became interested in utilizing technology to expedite treatment. And that is my main goal, one of the things that is most important when someone is a patient and is diagnosed with an illness, that they get seen quickly. And my understanding in America is, depending on your income status, you have the ability to be seen quickly. We have to sort of wait in line, wait our turn. And I, you know, there are times when I do not agree with the waits that patients experience. I don't know if that helps.
It does, yes, because I've heard the same. I've heard about the extraordinary costs and that you don't get real care unless you have the money here. And then I've heard about the coverage that you have, that's sort of a right of passage there, but yet the weights and things of that nature. So it's, maybe they should come up with a way to blend the two and come up with something magical, you know, that sort of covers all the bases. Health is something so important, and we don't want anybody to forego their health because of money, because of, you know, so you always hear these stories about seniors deciding, do we take the medicine or do we eat our, you know, and get food or pay the rent? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It should never come down to somebody deciding, do I eat or do I take my medicine? It's, you know, you should be able to do both. So hopefully maybe something will blend. You know, you have started a podcast during the COVID period and have continued to do it as well. Tell us about the web resources, including where listeners can find some of the archived videos as well.
I do have a website under DRA Richard, just like Richard, .ca. And under media, I do have a number of teaching sessions on how to understand your blood work. The Origin Stories podcast I started during COVID, where I just interview people I find fascinating just for fun, their origin stories. I do have a couple of online videos for newly diagnosed breast cancer patients. That is simply on YouTube. These are all free resources.
That's great.
So it's mostly on the website, Jim.
And is that how you like to say it, Richard, as far as the pronunciation?
That's correct. It's the French pronunciation.
Yes, and I've Americanized it.
That's okay. Very,
yeah, we have
very
we
common.
Have relatives that are not with the C, but it's with the K, and they say Ricard. So it sounds so very, very familiar. Yeah, yeah, very, very familiar in the pronunciation. So, you know, you are also, in the research that we've done, Annette, you learned that you are pursuing health coach certification. That's exciting. Congratulations on adding that to your incredible repertoire and, you know, toolkit you have of resources. How do you think adding that in will complement the way that you care for people and help them overcome the various things that they deal with, diseases and illnesses, things of that nature? How will that be an asset?
I've been gifted, Jim, with meeting so many mentors in my life. I've sought out great people. I've traveled to meet them. And I have followed Mary Morrissey, who, as you know, is an American writer, speaker, humanitarian. She shared the stage with the Dalai Lama, Rosa Parks, the children of Martin Luther King Jr. And I wanted to learn from Mary. And part of the course that she teaches is called Standing Firm When Your World is Shaking. And without this study, I would not be handling life as I am handling it now. It has been just the best thing that I have signed up for, that anybody could sign up for. And my hope is, under her tutelage and her many, many years of teaching and educating, her spiritual background, it has just been amazing to me. One of my great mentors is my best friend, a psychologist in the city. When you were mentioning about the American versus Canadian system, about blended, I had heretofore an approach to life that was an either or. And she has had such an effect on me that life is a both and. When you were saying about should we pay for our health care, should we choose to eat or pay for our rent? And so that approach that I got from my psychologist mentor and Mary is that life is both and. But these mentors that I've met, many of whom sadly have gone to heaven or wherever dead people go, just help me. And I think if they can help me and I can be altered and have a different approach to how I respond to life, et cetera, that I could pass this on to other people.
That's beautiful. And to want to do that is extraordinary. Just really says so much about who you are and why you do what you do and why you love what you're doing. Healer, health coach, breast cancer expert. Again, this is work that you've been doing for a long time. I know that we're going to be talking about this a little bit as we go along with part two, but maybe you can preview a little bit about POCUS, the point of care ultrasound product. That sounds revolutionary.
Well, it's huge in the United States, huge. And it's also used, I would say, in a large way in Canada, but in the hospital setting, because these machines are prohibitively expensive for an individual to purchase. The reason I did this, well, I love to learn. I'm a lifelong learner, and if I do a physical, if I were to examine you, for instance, Jim, and listen to your heart and your carotid arteries and your neck and tap on your belly and do a rectal, all the things that we would do as part of our physical exam as a physician, the general physician, I could infer, based on my findings, that you were well or, you know, or possibly I find something and I need to go on to further imaging, but I can't see your organs. So point of care ultrasound training, huge in the United States. That's where I actually did my training. Eventually will be what is referred to as the 21st century version of the stethoscope. And ultimately, I think in the next 10 years, everyone in medicine, I believe, should have this skill because you can see the carotid arteries. I can see the four chambers of the heart and the valves and how it's functioning. I can see the liver and the kidney and potentially pick up on an abdominal aneurysm, for instance. I am not trying to be an ultrasonographer, but what I can do is take a photo, send it to one of my radiology friends or specialist friends, and expedite further formal testing. And it's fascinating for patients because who is not fascinated by their own female own bodies? So it's educational. I have this huge smart board called the VIBE, V-I-B-E, from the United States, used by a lot of educators in schools. But what I can do is split the screen, and on one side, the patient lying comfortably can see what I'm doing, see their organs, and on the other side, with an app that I can use my hand to manipulate, I can show them what part of the body that I'm actually looking at. So it's just exciting for me. I'm a very early adopter of technology. So it's just one of the tools to increase the skill set from a mere physical exam to something that's more elevated.
It's extraordinary. It really, really is. And I do want to mention, too, the book that you've written. You authored a book about the cancer battle, and it's There Is Something I Need to Get Off My Chest. Tell us about that. I know it's a mix of case studies and discussions or frequent questions, so someone that's newly diagnosed would be armed with the answers at their fingertips when they awake nervous in the middle of the night. Congratulations on writing the book.
Well, thank you. It's a synopsis of a lot of the things I've told people over the years. I did a little course at Harvard for writing nonfiction for physicians. And it's, at first, the title that I came up with was felt to be that I was being facetious about medicine. It was kind of because it's got a double way of looking at it. And I certainly am not trying to make light of breast cancer. But it was certainly a way to have in a small book that someone could get online and, as you say, answer some questions they may have or some fears when everyone is asleep in the house and they're wide awake. It was a fun experience.
You know, that's usually the nighttime is when your mind does wander about various things in life and things you can't necessarily control or that you try to work through. And I think it's really extraordinary that you put this together as a terrific resource, which is fantastic. It's really wonderful work that you're doing, and life mastery, that is something else too. Tell us about life mastery.
Oh, it's a brilliant course. There's several different levels that you can take. The basic is the Dream Builder program that is included in what I'm doing. And I mean, we all dream. We all have dreams. But Mary's approach is the building of a dream is very different than simply having a dream. And that is asking yourself questions. Does your dream bring you life? Does your dream cause you to grow? Does your dream, is your dream beneficial for others? So that's part of the Dream Builder program. Life Mastery is a series of four different parts, one of which is standing firm when your world is shaking, which was just an epiphany for me. And when you're talking about at night or worrying, my psychologist friend said when I said I was worried about something, she said, does it help? And it doesn't. And Mary Morrissey's approach is, well, Viktor Frankl, who, you know, wrote Man's Search for Meaning, an Austrian psychiatrist who was at Auschwitz, lost all of his family, including his wife, wrote a seminal book about the space we need to create between stimulus and response, that we have the ability to derive our own reaction to any circumstance. And Mary taught this part about scheduling your panic, that we have within us an internal pause button, and we can, because nothing is good or bad unless thinking makes it so, as Shakespeare wrote. So scheduling your panic, no matter when your world is shaking, you actually decide not to panic for 3 days. So you circle that happened on a Tuesday, you circle Friday, and if even though panic would well up within you at any circumstance, you do nothing for 3 days. And often by the third day, things can be better, but you've created that space. And you've got a couple of other into your genius, the factors of how you can stay with the dream. I mean, that's how I did medical school. I did not have anyone in my family or my relationship at the time that supported my going to medical school. So I walked every day, and I was able through will, I believe, to keep that dream in the forefront of my mind despite circumstances that didn't appear to be positive for me. And providence prevailed, and I got in. So that is my kind of approach to life.
What an approach. It's like a full circle approach as well. And you are also, not only do you have all of the expertise, experience, all of the years of study and practical application. But one of the things that I think really, even with all of that, that really makes an impact in people's lives is the empathy and the compassion. You take a holistic approach, you've got this intimate knowledge of medicine, and you at the same time are known for being very compassionate. Tell us where that comes from and how important it is to express that when you're dealing with patients, people who are going through things in their life that they sometimes don't know how to deal with, find scary, frustrating. Having that compassion, showing that you're real and relatable, I think is a beautiful part of what you do, wrapped around all the expertise and years of, again, practical application.
Well, Jim, I believe for me it's about bearing witness to suffering. That's what I do. I can't change what has happened to a person. I would love to be able to change it, but I can certainly accompany them. As Derek Doyle wrote so beautifully in the Platform Ticket, I can accompany them on their journey as far as I'm allowed to go. So it's bearing witness to suffering for me.
How do you, we have much more next week as well. I encourage folks, we're really getting to know the doctor on this episode. Next week it's cancer and other advanced knowledge. How do you, being so compassionate and empathetic, not absorb it all? I've asked this of many folks in the medical profession, police, firefighters, EMTs, first responders, that see so many different things and witness and hear so many different things. How do you remain compassionate and real and relatable and not soak it all up yourself? Still do what needs to be done, can keep the compassion, you know, there and expressed, but at the same time not let it overwhelm you as a compassionate person.
Well, it certainly has in the past. I mean, I am completely human. But I interestingly, very recently, I started wearing a white coat. I never did. And I'll tell you why. I watched an American TV show. It was a police show where there was a senior police officer, a woman, speaking to a junior police officer, a man. And she said to him, "Why do we wear a uniform?" And he said, "So we can be identified by the public." And she said, "No, we wear a uniform so we can take it off." And I was trained very beautifully to leave all of my issues and problems at the door. So no matter what I'm experiencing, it is unimportant when I'm with a patient. Everything about the patient is only my area of interest. And I started wearing the coat so that I could physically take it off at the end of my workday and just sort of leave it behind. And I found that just... I learned this from a TV show, and I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. That's really incredible. This is a fascinating conversation on many different levels. And again, this is just part one of a two-part series. We encourage you to join us next week as we continue our conversation with Dr. Annette Richard. And if you'd like to learn more, you can go to her website. That is Dr., and it's spelled D-R, so it's the abbreviated, D-R-A, and then Richard. That's RICHARD.CA. Really terrific to have an opportunity to chat with you, Annette, and I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I absolutely have with you. And thanks for joining us on Close Up Radio for part one of the series. It was a real pleasure.
Oh, it was an absolute pleasure to speak with you, Jim, and I'm very, very grateful for this kind opportunity.
It is our pleasure. We look forward to the continuation and expanding some more. Thank you, Ned, and thanks to our listeners. I'm your host, Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time on Close Up Radio. Stay tuned. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another fascinating guest right here on the program. Till then, for all of us, we hope you enjoyed this episode. She'll be back next week with us as well. Take care and be well and have a great day.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.